Amen. You know, this morning I feel like that old-time preacher that stood up and he had a lot to say, and he stood up and he told the congregation, he says, you know, I have a lot to say today and I don't even know where to begin. Well, when he said that, a little boy stood up in the back and says, begin towards the end. And so this morning we're going to begin towards the end, and I want you to look back at verse 31 in chapter 12, towards the end of our text there. And I want to read that verse again. In fact, Matthew 6:33 is one of my favorite verses. It's the same verse in Matthew. But seek his kingdom. Now, this is the key that Jesus is trying to get across to his disciples. He says, seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. In other words, he's saying, if you'll just seek my kingdom, and you'll put the things of God on your heart, and you'll make your concerns and make your worries and make your energy the things of God, he says, I'll turn around and I'll take care of all of those things that the world, the nations run after, are making their concerns and their worries. And that is providing for themselves and providing food and clothing. In other words, he's talking about in the context of the man we looked at last week that had a bumper crop, and he wanted to tear down his barns, and he wanted to build bigger barns to store everything, and then he was going to eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord says, did you not know that your soul would be required of you this night? So Jesus now, in the context of that teaching, continues now to kind of unpack how God takes care of us. And I think that's very interesting. And the first thing I want to look at is, just as the birds depend on God daily, we can trust God today too. Did you know the Bible says that God daily loads us with his benefits? Now, I wonder if he just took away that one promise, if he just took away the benefits that he loads us with and removed them, what would our life be like by the end of next week? You see, we take it for granted unless we could see it from heaven's viewpoint. But if you were in heaven and you could see all that God does for your life and for your family, and all of the things that he does to provide for you while you're seeking the Lord and you're living for Jesus, it would blow your mind just how active God is in your life. You know, it's like that song, Count Your Many Blessings. Sometimes we begin to take our blessings for granted. And that's why I like that song, because it reminds us of our many blessings. We are truly blessed. Now, here's the key. The key is, in Jesus Christ, you have received an inheritance. We looked a little bit at that last week too. You have received an inheritance, and in that inheritance, not only have you received salvation, but you've received the kingdom. In other words, God's good pleasure of the kingdom. It is an amazing thing. And so the first one is, just as the birds depend on God daily, we can trust God today too. But here's what happens. We limit God when our trust never extends beyond our storehouse. Look at verse 22. He begins with, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. There's that word life again. Do not worry about your life. What you will eat. That doesn't mean that you just sit down and you quit working and all that. That's not what he's saying. He's using it in the context of the heart attitude. What are the pursuits of your heart? He says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what your body, or about your body, what you will wear. So he's talking about food and clothing here. Now, starting in verse 23, he's fixing to begin illustrating food and clothing. So in verse 23, he says, for life is more than food. In other words, God created us for a far greater purpose than just to eat. Well, I'm thankful that he got the eating part in there too, though, because it sure is good. But he created us for so much more than just food, and the body more than clothes. Then he says, look at this illustration. So he illustrates in verse 24, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom. Now he's back to the context of the farmer that had a bumper crop. He's saying they don't have an ability to sow and they don't reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. I tell you, I love birds, and I love to feed birds. And every morning, the first thing I do, before I do anything, is I go to the patio door, and I look out at the bird feeders, because I want to see if there's any birds on those feeders. And I love to watch those birds. And oftentimes this verse will come to my mind about how God provides for the birds. Now, here is the key to this, though, that you can't miss. It's the fact that they don't have a storeroom or a barn. Now, what is a storeroom for you and I today? Well, most of us don't have a lot of grain stored up, so we don't need a big barn to store our grain. But we do have retirement accounts, and we do have savings accounts. And some of us don't have a whole lot in those barns. Those storerooms are pretty low. And God says, I tell you what, I see what's in your storehouse. And I see what's in your barn. And I see what you're dealing with today. And he's saying, I'm going to take it all the way back to the natural world. And I want you to look at the birds. They don't have much either stored up as well. But you know what? I provide for them. Now, I believe the word of God to be true from the very first verse to the very last verse. So if I believe the word of God to be true, that means that God, in his infinite wisdom, takes care of things to make sure that the birds are going to have something to eat. And he takes care of the balance of nature to make sure that they're going to be able to make it. How much more his children will he take care of you and I? And if you could give testimony today, like me, you could probably give an hour or 2 or 3 hours worth of testimonies at how God has provided for you supernaturally. But listen, that's still not the key, because we don't seek God just seeking his provision. We seek God because he died on the cross for our sins, and he redeemed us from those sins, and he took us from the judgment and the penalty of hellfire, and he has taken us to his very grace, the presence of his love, and the promise of heaven for eternity. That's why we seek him. But God says, in my infinite wisdom, because you love me, I'll see to it that if you seek me, I'll see to it that you're took care of. And I got to tell you, Teresa and I, and she's not here right now, but she's on her way. I'll be glad when she gets back. But Teresa, her and Caitlin's been in Alabama for a little mini weekend vacation. And it's been real quiet around the house, and it's been about to drive me crazy. So I can't wait for them to get back. But God has took care of us in ways we could have never even dreamed or imagined. Why? Because the Lord is who our minds are on. That's who our focus is on. And when we think about God and we focus on God, we'll do things as a part of God's kingdom work. And then we'll just have to trust the Lord to provide. That's what we do. It's a silent trust that we have in Jesus Christ. So that's the principle. Now, here's what tends to happen. God is unlimited to bless by our joyful willingness to give. What tends to happen is we are so focused on the material world, because that's what we live in, is a material world. We're so focused on it many times that we miss out on the things that God wants to involve us in and use us in. And it's in that kingdom work by which God responds to bless. And so that's why he says later, he says, moth and rust won't destroy a treasure that's put into heaven. At the end of the day, when we all stand before God, what we did with our money here on earth, like that go-kart I bought, I love that go-kart, but it's not going to have very many blessings in heaven. But it sure is fun. Kids enjoy it. There's a lot of things I get that probably, you know, they're going to be destroyed by rust and moth, and then whenever I'm gone, nobody else is going to want it. I'll just have to give it all to Justin Pullen or somebody, because then nobody else going to want the stuff I've got. But I'm going to tell you, what is eternally rewarded is what we do for the kingdom work. You see, that work, moth and rust cannot destroy. And why do we give in that kingdom work? It's not just with your money. It's giving with your time, your energy, your talent, your treasure, all of it. And when you give towards the kingdom work, then what you've done is you've put it in a place that affects the kingdom and the world around you and I. That's the effect of it. I was thinking, in fact, if you've read the newsletter, you'll see it, but I was thinking on this here a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago, about how this church works together. We've got some in this church that their gifts are in sending emails and cards of encouragement. Because of their age or their health conditions, they're limited in what all they can do at this time. Then we have some that they have the ability to give, so they really help in their giving. Then we have some that they don't have a lot to give, but they have a lot of time that they can participate in the work of the church. They help with VBSs. They volunteer for whatever the needs are, and they're given of that time, and God is blessing that, and he's taking care of your needs, even for the investment of your time. And so what God is doing is all of these people in the church that are getting together and working together, look at what the fruit of that is. Well, we saw 7 baptisms just a few minutes ago. That's the fruit of labor. That's the fruit of working in the kingdom work. That's seven people that have given their heart. Actually, 10. We had three that couldn't make it. That's 10 people that have given their heart to Jesus Christ. And I said it the other day, and I'll say it again, and next week I'm going to talk about the mission trip and show some pictures. But even with your giving and the help that the church provided me with to be able to go to Brazil, to the Amazon, and for some of you that helped me, because of that, 10 more people were saved in the Amazon. So that's 20 people that have given their heart to Jesus Christ, but it takes all of us doing our part and working together, because it's not, listen, the kingdom work is a team effort. It's not a solo effort. It takes all of us working together. And so God is unlimited. Listen, when you focus on Him, He's unlimited to bless. I'll give you an illustration. I've shared it before, but some of you may not have ever heard it. And I could give illustration after illustration, but this one just comes to my mind so often. Because if you raise cows and you know anything about Brahma cows, you know how crazy they are. And I had sold my cows when Teresa and I got married. Well, I kept them for a while, and then after I sold a bunch of them when we got married, and then I sold the rest later in our marriage. And what is interesting is we had a time where we were going through a tremendous financial crisis with Caitlin. It's when Caitlin was having all of her heart issues, started at 5 months old, and they had to revive her 3 different times. And we were just scared to death, didn't know what was going on. And the Lord was giving us a peace through His Word. And we were making trips back and forth to Children's Hospital. It went on for a long time. And so during that time, following that, after she had had her surgery and everything, and we were finally back at home, I'd missed a lot of work. And our bills had been stacking up. I was paying everything I could, working in between things as much as I could. And we got really behind. And I just started praying. I said, God, we prayed for Caitlin for 9 months. Every night we prayed that our baby would be healthy and come to know Jesus at a young age through that entire pregnancy. And so I had all these questions in my mind as why is she suffering so in her health? Well, what we didn't know is what God was going to do through that, not only for Caitlin, but for me and Teresa and our family. It was the faith trial that we needed as we look back in the rearview mirror to really get us to look into God. And during that time, we were out by the corral, and it was all growed up. And if you know anything about cows, don't build your corral out of guardrails, because that's what I built mine out of, and the cows can't hardly see out of it. Cows don't like getting in it. They like to be able to see out. Well, we had a Brahma cow and a Brahma calf that had been on the property for several weeks. No brands, no tags or anything. So I called everybody in the area trying to figure out whose cow and calf that was. It was a Brahma cross with a Brentel calf out in the pasture. Scared, you couldn't get any 100 yards from that thing, it'd take off running. She didn't like to be around people. And so we couldn't find, and finally a man came out and said, that's my cow, I know it's my cow. I'm missing a cow and calf just like you described. And he came out and looked, and he came back and said, no, it ain't mine. He said, that cow doesn't have a brand, a tag, or anything. And so Teresa and I were out by the corral, and I had an old four-wheeler that I had from work when I worked for Cobb. And we were sitting on that by the corral, and it was all growed up. The gate was still open. The gate was growed up. And the cow and the calf was way up in the pasture up on the hill. And I started praying, and Teresa, and I didn't know it, she was praying too. But I was praying to myself. And I said, Lord, did you put that cow and calf in here? Even our fences were down in the back so that we could have that cow and calf to sell to get out of this financial bind that we're in. And I said, only way I can know that, I'd have to kill the cow to take it to the sale barn. The only way I'm going to know that is if you put it in the corral, because I can't catch it. And so I was praying that, and Teresa was praying the same thing, and we hadn't even talked to each other about it. We're just sitting there. And that cow and calf from way up on the hill takes off walking right towards us. Come right by me, four-wheeler sitting there idling. We're sitting on it. Came right by me, walked right into the corral. I simply got off within 15 feet of us. I simply got off and shut the gate. The Lord provided. You see, that's how God operates. He operates in a way that is supernatural, and it's different from our means of operation. And sometimes when you preach in the Bible about stewardship, or you preach in the Bible about money, and we're just naturally here, and I don't like to skip the verses because I don't think we grow when we skip verses. If God put them in the Bible, we need to preach them. And so this is where we're at, is it's at stewardship. He's talking about our finances right here. And I want to tell you, if you're in a financial mess in your home, the best thing you can do is get the Bible out, because there's about 700 verses you're going to find on money. You need to get the Bible out and just start operating by its principles and quit trusting in what you can do, because you're limiting his provision if you make all you can do your trust. And just get involved in his work and start pursuing God. But first of all, don't do that unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and pursue that relationship above all else, and all that other stuff falls in place naturally. Because what God's concerned with is your relationship to his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why the key word is right down here in verse 31, seek his kingdom. I want to show you something before we move to point number two. If you want to flip there, and I'm going to use the original King James for this because I like the way it's worded. But go to Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll show you two things in chapter 11 about faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Did you catch that? He says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. In fact, it takes faith to believe in him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that's first of all, that he is deity and that his word is true. Secondly, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, Jesus hasn't lost his consistency here. It's throughout the word of God. He's saying if you diligently seek him and you seek to please God, he'll reward that attitude of heart that you have towards his Son, Jesus Christ. Y'all, it's powerful. And he does it all the time. If you look back at verse 1 again, he says, now faith is the substance of things. Now our faith is not pie in the sky. And I say this a lot to people. Because somebody will say, well, how do you know God to come through on this? Or how do you know that God is hearing you? Or how do you know that? It's that question. Because it's that question of faith. How do you know? Well, I'll tell you how I know. Because if your faith is resting on just a hope that it's not based on a substance, he says substance. Substance is something you can put your hands on. It's something you can touch. It's something you can stand on. And so he says, now faith, and then he defines it. It's the substance of things hoped for. Well, where do we get our hope? We get our hope from the Word of God. And where do we get our faith? We get our faith from the Word of God. As the Holy Spirit assures our hearts as we read it, so the substance of the things, the substance our faith rests on, is it's resting on the total and complete, infallible, inerrant Word of God. That's what our faith is resting on. And if your faith is resting on pie-in-the-sky promises, it'll always be pie-in-the-sky promises. But if your faith is resting on the Word of God, listen, why do I seek the Lord? Because His Word says that if I'll do it, He'll take care of the rest. Why do I do this? Because His Word says that. Why do I do this? Because His Word says this. Then what you're doing is now you're intimately connecting with God through the conversation of His Word by which the Holy Spirit is bringing to pass in your heart. Does that make sense? God communicates through His Word. Now, God's not limited in how He communicates. He can communicate through circumstances. He can communicate in your prayer time. He can communicate in many ways, but primarily, God communicates in His Word. That's why He says that you have to grow thereby by the imperishable. You have to grow by the Word of God. Because the Word of God is our promises. Folks, don't just read the Bible for its stories, and I love its stories. Because its stories is how we remember the applications and the principles of faith. But read the Bible for what it says about God and what it says about man, and then you'll learn how to live for God, and you'll learn how to grow in the Lord, and then He will begin to reward your faith, because He says He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You say, give me an application of some time that God has rewarded my faith. Well, I'll give you one that represents Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. For years, and Connie Hicks has told me the story and others, people had prayed for that property next door because we're landlocked apart from it. And there was prayer that God would enlarge the territory and give Mount Sylvan the property that it would need in the future so that it can grow and keep up with the growth of the community around it and things of that nature. God did that. He blessed, not only did He bless us with the property, we never went and borrowed a dime for that property. We closed on that property. And was that 90 days later that we closed on that? Something like 90 days later. Now, if you take, this is not a really big church. That was a lot of money that church members gave to the purchase of that property. Now, I want you to do some math real quick in your head. Add up the cost of that property. I think that was $220,000. Add to that the $118,000 that's back there on the, I can't say the word, thermometer. Add those two together, and you've got, that has been given since 2012, in 3 years, August to August, because we're fixing to be in August, this is the last day of July, in 36 months, that's 300, not counting some that was given to the church expansion fund, that's $338,000 in 36 months that's been given by members of Mount Sylvan Baptist Church that ain't got a dollar one owed against it. Y'all, that's worth blessing God over. $338,000. And you see, I have faith because I know what the Bible teaches. And I know that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church. When we watch the news right now, we see all the things happening with ISIS and everybody else. I mean, Satan will come and he will tempt you to doubt. He'll tempt you to have fear. He'll tempt you with all kinds of things. But let me tell you something. My legs or my feet are rested in something that's a whole lot better. My feet are resting in the Word of God. And the Word of God says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So my advice to ISIS and all the rest of them is they better hightail it, because the one that they are facing is a whole lot greater than the military of the United States of America. His name is Jesus, and he has a covenant with his church. That's the advice that I would give them. They won't throw threats at us. Well, let's throw a few at them with the Word of God. That we've got a God that is faithful to his promises. The gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. Adolf Hitler stood up at one time and he slapped his finger in the face of God. And look at what happened to Adolf Hitler and all of the armies that followed him. I'll tell you, God will rise up in his time. But he's going to raise up his people. And so we need to be trusting in our almighty provision that we have from God. Now look at the second one. So God is unlimited to bless by our joyful willingness to give. But look at point number two. The flower blooms in detail and beauty all by the provision of God. Look at verse 27 in Luke 12. He says, consider how the wildflowers grow. You ever considered how they grow? Just going down the highway and you see a bunch of wildflowers, pull over and just look at them. I know we have, because Teresa wanted to take pictures of Madeline when she was real little in the Indian paintbrushes. Those are wildflowers. Lots of wildflowers grow on the side of the road. I can remember when I was working in Corsicana, I didn't know it was against the law. I pulled over on the side of Highway 31 and I pulled me some blue bonnets and different things and I put them in a Whataburger cup to surprise Teresa. Cars going by like crazy. And I got home, and Teresa said, where did you get these? I said, off the, you know, that side of the road there where Jeff Robinson Loop crosses, all those that grow up on the side of the, I got them right there. She said, did you know that's illegal? I said, really? I just got a few. And so put some in the, I didn't know it was illegal. I knew you couldn't mow them, but didn't say anything about pull them. The flower blooms in detail and beauty all by the provision of God. Watch this. He says, consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Now, what God's trying to point out here is not that we shouldn't labor or spin. He says, in fact, those that won't provide for their own are worse than an unbeliever. So he's saying that, yes, you should work and you should do everything the best you can. You put your hand to. That's not the point he's trying to get across. What he's trying to show is his sovereignty to provide. He says, they do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, because they really thought a lot of Solomon. Solomon was a very, very wealthy man, very successful man, and everybody wanted to understand the wisdom and the splendor of Solomon. So he's using somebody they could relate to. He says, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed, the clothing, like one of these. Now, here's the point that he's trying to make. He's saying that wild flower. Now, I think that it's interesting that, because God is infinite in wisdom, he doesn't just throw an illustration in there to throw an illustration in there. He thinks things through from infinite wisdom. I think he used the wild flower as so much more than just to illustrate how he clothed it. Now, Solomon was blessed of God. In fact, Solomon had prayed and asked for wisdom. God blessed it and gave him more wisdom than any other man. Solomon had on the clothes of royalty. But Solomon did a lot of that too. He had to work, and he had to work for that kingdom to grow with the wisdom that God provided him. But the truth is, that wildflower, nobody's taking care of a wildflower. That wildflower doesn't have somebody that's coming along that's watering it, somebody that's putting some fertilizer on it. In fact, that wildflower's just out there by itself. That's why he said a wildflower. Some of you, and sometimes I feel like a wildflower. Like, God, have you forgot me? I feel like I'm one of those flowers off in the middle of the pasture somewhere and nobody sees it. Sometimes people feel that way, and God is trying to say, listen, you're like that wildflower. And I spoke to your heart one day, and you accepted me as your Savior. You're one of my children, and the world may treat you like a wildflower, but you're one of mine that I am the vine dresser to take care of. You can read that in John chapter 15. And so in verse 28, he says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more, now there's the principle, how much more will he clothe you? And then here he takes us right back to that problem again, ye of little faith, or oh you of little faith. Why does he point that out suddenly? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. He says we can only please God by faith, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently do what? Seek him. You see, those that trust God seek God. And you say, give me an application of how God has blessed me. Well, we used one of the church. What about the prayers you had for somebody that just recently became a Christian? Or the prayers you had for somebody, God answered those prayers. Or maybe it was a prayer for yourself for something. Prayed for patience, or you prayed for something that God would deal with it in your life, and he answered that prayer. He answered it because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You see, God has that power in his sovereignty. Have you ever thought about, in fact, that's the second part of our number two point, is we bloom as we trust God by faith. If you want to bloom in life, if you want to be excited and have purpose in life, and you want to feel like my life is worth living and there's joy again, and you're not dictating your happiness based on things or based on what's going on in the world, but you're dictating your happiness based on what God's doing in your life, you got to focus on the Lord. It'll change your attitude towards life. In fact, I believe that a lot of Christians are unhappy because they live in a prison house of pessimism, and we ought to be living in the freedom house of optimism. When we read the Word of God, it's an optimistic outlook, is what I see. This world is evil, and it'll always get eviler. But as long as the Christians doing their part, God will always bless his church because it belongs to him, and he's still blessing it. And I don't know if eviler is a word or not, but we'll use it. I want to show you one thing, and then we'll be done. We bloom as we trust God by faith. And I've got a picture of a flower. I think it's on there, Frankie, if you want to try it. Now, that's a daylily that I've got growing in my yard in our front flower bed. And what's interesting, is there another picture on there? Okay, see that picture there? See the stems that just have the buds? Now, those stems are planted, and those stems are in 100% trust that they're going to bloom. If you looked at one of those stems before the bud, it's just an old, ugly, weed-looking thing to me. But whenever it makes that flower, it blooms. That's how God, now that's God created that flower to bloom. He spoke that into existence at creation. So that flower is blooming because of Genesis chapter 1. That's why it's blooming. But he also said in Ephesians 2:10 that we have been created. When you become a Christian, you've been created for good works. And God prepared them before time ever began, those good works. Now flip back to that other picture, if it'll go backwards. Okay, see that one? My camera didn't really get a good picture of the bloom, but you can see the beauty in that flower. The perfect design that came from God. God has created you and I to bloom. That flower can only bloom as it is exposed to light. You and I can only bloom for Jesus as we are exposed to the sun, S-O-N, light. And the more we expose ourselves to the Word of God and the obedience to the Word of God, the more we bloom in our faith for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. And God, we thank you that, Lord, that your love for us and your care for us is not limited by our storehouse or anything else. That your love and your care is designed from eternity, settled in heaven. You're not a reactionary God that's going through life reacting as if everything is a new event to you. But you're a God who has things settled in heaven. And you have engaged us in spiritual warfare, and we've been called to pray. We've been called to pray for our nation. We've been called to pray for our leaders and for our neighbors. We've been called to involve ourselves in your kingdom work. And you said that those who do, that work will not be destroyed. It's where moth and rust cannot destroy. And it has an impact for eternity that will last for eternity. And God, I pray that we will examine our hearts this morning. And Father, that if we are just muddling through life, and God, that faith is just a Sunday morning thing, and it tends to leave us on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, that God, we'd re-examine and we would get back under the light of your word. And God, that we would read it for ourselves, that we would find time to pray. You're not wanting to punish us. You're wanting to grow us. And God, I pray for that. In Jesus' name.